Right, we're going to do a quick game now. It's a game we've played before quite a while ago. We're going to call it categories. Okay, now there's some paper and pens or pencils on the table. So you can do this in teams if you want, or in pairs. You need to grab a piece of paper and a pen and a pencil. Sorry? You can be a four if you want, if you can find a four. Okay, yeah. So, this is the categories game. So it works like this. I'm going to say a category, and you have to write down as many things as you can in that category in 1 minute. And then I'm going to read out my list of 10 things. There's no wrong answers, but the things on my list, if you've got the same things that I've got on my list, you get a point for each one, okay? So there's no wrong answers. All the things you write down are fine, but you only get a point for the ones that I've also got on my list. Okay, that's how it works. So the more you can write down, the more probability you'll have of getting points. Okay, are you ready? Okay, the first category. Oh, I have to get my timer ready. Hang on. I'll use my phone. Wait. Okay, ready? Has everyone got a bit of paper? Okay. So the first category is most common Christmas presents. Go. Write them down, write them down. 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Okay. You have to be very honest now. You're not allowed to add any more to your list, okay? Okay. So I'm going to read out my list, and you can tick each one that you've also got on your list, okay? Okay, number one, chocolates. Number two, biscuits or shortbread. I'll accept shortbread. Yeah, that is true, though, but it's not on my list. So we've got chocolates, biscuits or shortbread. Number three, Lego. Did anyone have Lego? Yeah, well done. No, it's got to be more specific than just toy. Number four, socks. I heard you say that. People always say they get socks. I've never actually had socks, so maybe I need some socks this year. Hello. Have I? Oh, sorry, I have. Ooh, I've forgotten. Oh, really? Okay, next one. Number five, a smartwatch. No, it's got to be more specific. Number six, perfume. Number seven, Bluetooth earphones. Apparently, that's... Number eight, video consoles, games consoles. If you've got PlayStation, Xbox, or whatever all the other ones are, then that counts as well. Number nine, cookery books. I think it's too vague. You can have half a point for books. Okay, you can have half a point. And number 10, a bike or a scooter? Christmas jumpers you buy before Christmas Day, surely. So look, you only get a point for the ones I said at the beginning. There's no wrong answers. They're all correct, but you only get points for the ones that are also on my list. No, it's got to be more specific. So count how many points you got. Yeah, I wrote them down earlier. Okay. Sit down, get ready for the next category. Who got four or more? Who got five or more? Okay, no one got five or more. Okay, so the highest was four. Okay, let's see. You'll probably do better for the next round. It's a bit easier, I think. The next category. Things that we eat for Christmas dinner. Okay, go. Seven, six, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. Okay, no more writing. You're only allowed to tick the ones that are on my list.
You've got so many.
So you might have other things that are really great and will eat Christmas, but you only get a point for the ones on my list. Okay. So number one, cranberry sauce. Number two, turkey. Number three, roast potato. Number four, roast parsnips.
Parsnips,
that's fine.
Yes, I told you parsnips.
Number five, Henry's favourite, Brussels sprouts. Number six, Asian blankets. Number seven, gravy. Number eight. Number eight, Christmas pudding.
Yes.
Number nine, brandy butter. Okay, number 10. It might be a bit unusual. Lay's carrots. Not just carrots, but Lay's carrots. Okay, I think you might put carrots. Okay, count up how many points you've got. I can't believe I didn't put stuff on there. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah,
I definitely have stuff in, but it wasn't on my list.
Can we have
sorry.
Your chip pudding, please?
No, the, only the ones on. So who's got five or more? Six. Seven.
Yeah,
eight.
No.
Nine. Oh, who's got 10? Oh, well done. You definitely won that round. Well done. Brilliant. Okay, this is the last one. Now, this isn't... This isn't just about Christmas. It could be about anything that fits in this category, okay? So they don't have to be Christmas things. It could be anything. This one's a bit more of a difficult round. Things you have to wait for. Things that you have to wait for. Could be anything.
Anything.
Things that you have to wait for.
Like
you have to try and think what might be the most common things that we might, that I might put down. Oh, sorry. No, for any category, any not just about Christmas, just in general, things you have to wait for. Okay, 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. Stop writing. Okay, you might have lots of good things on there, but you only get a point, remember, for the ones that are also on my list. I had a look and I noticed some people have got several that are on my list. So ready? Listen up. Nice and quiet so we can listen. Okay, number one, you have to wait for buses. If you've got school bus or anything, yeah. Well done, buses. Number two, I wonder how many of us have got this. Doctor's appointments. If you've got hospital appointments or something like that, that's fine too. Number three, You have to wait for paint to dry. Did anyone have that? You have to wait for paint to dry. Sorry, that was a bad one, but it's true. Number four. You have to wait for birthdays. Number five, you have to wait to open your presents. You have to wait to open your presents.
Can you wait for Christmas presents?
Yeah, if you've written down wait for Christmas presents, that's fine. That's the same.
Did you get presents?
No, it's too general. I wanted presents or Christmas. Okay, number six, you have to wait for Santa. Number seven, I'm curious to see how many people have got this. I saw one person had it. You have to wait for Amazon deliveries or Amazon parcels. Put your hands up if you had that one. Yes, well done. Oh, good. Well done, Freddie. Okay, number eight, you have to wait for traffic lights to change. Anyone have that one? Oh, well done. Yeah. Number nine, this is my personal, not my favourite, the one I hate the most. You have to wait for the kettle to boil. Did anyone have that? Okay, and number 10, you have to wait for babies to be born. Did anyone have that? Yeah. Okay, count up how many points you've got. No, it wasn't on my list. No, it has to be on my list.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Nice. Okay, who had 4 points? Well done. No, okay, let me start. Who had 2 points? Well done. Who had 3?
Yeah.
Who had 4? Who had 5? Oh. Who had 6 or more? Okay, 5 was the highest. Well done. And well done, boys. Did really well. Okay, now we can put the paper and pens back on the table now, please. And we're going to come to our reading now. Great, so I need everyone to be quiet so we can listen carefully to the reading. And it's from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let's listen carefully.
Okay. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
To read Peter. So we're thinking about the theme of waiting, and we can feel different ways when we're waiting for something. If we're waiting for the bus, you might feel bored, you might feel annoyed if it's really late. If we're sitting there in the dentist's waiting room, we might be waiting feeling a bit worried. If we're, well, depends whether you like the dentist or not. If you're in a restaurant, you might be feeling really hungry, you're waiting to be served. You might feel frustrated if you're waiting for a doctor's appointment and you've been waiting a long time. You might feel dread sometimes. I used to really hate it in school if I had to go up the front to do anything or be in a Christmas play or anything like that, or I had to read something. I used to feel dread thinking, oh no, I've got to go on there at the front in a minute and speak in front of everyone. You might feel impatient when you're waiting for presents. Or other times, when you're waiting, sometimes you can feel really positive, you can feel happy. You might be in a football stadium waiting for a match to begin, and you're sitting there, you know, any minute the game's going to begin, and you're sitting there waiting with excitement. Or, if you've just had your exams, and you feel you've done well, you can be waiting with hope, knowing that, hoping that you're going to get good marks back. You might wait with anticipation, looking forward to something like a holiday, or maybe a concert or something you've got tickets for. So we can feel different ways while we wait. Now, we're going to be thinking about how God's people in the Bible had to wait. So our story actually starts a long, long time ago. In fact, 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And it starts with a shepherd boy. And now, this shepherd boy was born in a town called Bethlehem. Same town that Jesus was born in. He was the youngest of 7 brothers. So most people thought that he was kind of unimportant. He was just the youngest son. What was his name? Does anyone, any of the kids know who this is? Put your hands up if you know.
Joseph.
No, not quite. No.
David.
Yeah, what? This was David.
David
loved God. In fact, when he was out in the hills sometimes, it could get quite lonely. Can you imagine being out on the hills? Yeah, you'd probably get bored of looking after sheep after a while, though. You'd just be out there in the fields, on the hills, and get quite bored. But David used to spend some of his time writing songs on a little harp. And he loved God, and he used to write songs for God. And one of those was Psalm 23. We've probably all heard it. It's a song that goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And then a bit later on in the psalm it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That was written by David. David had a heart that loved God. And God decided to make David king. That young shepherd boy, who everyone else thought wasn't very important, God chose and made him king over the whole of Israel. David had to wait quite a long time for that. It didn't happen straight away. It looked like it was never going to happen, but eventually one day he was king over God's people. And God helped David in lots of ways. God helped him win battles. God helped him to defend his people. God gave him riches. David was able to build amazing palaces. And God really blessed him. So David wanted to do something to thank God in return, because he knew God had taken him from being a shepherd boy out there in the hills on his own to being king. And that was an amazing thing. But David wanted to do something to thank God. David wanted to build a beautiful temple for God, somewhere where God's people could come and meet with God, somewhere where God would dwell in amongst his people. But that wasn't God's will. God sent the prophet Nathan to speak to David and tell him that David wasn't going to be the one to build God's temple. He needed to wait. The one who was going to build this temple was going to be David's son. God's people would need to wait. And God also promised at this time through the prophet David, God promised something really amazing. God said to David that when your days are over, when you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your offspring and I will establish his kingdom forever. That's what God said. God was promising David that one day one of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren would be king, but wouldn't just be any old king. He would be king of a kingdom that would never end. He would be an eternal king. God would be his father, he said, and he would be his son. Now that was a really mysterious promise, wasn't it? Even the greatest king doesn't live forever, and all kingdoms rise and fall, but God said no, it's going to be an eternal kingdom, and this king will be an eternal king. It was a strange and mysterious promise, and people didn't fully understand it, but they kept waiting to see what would happen. They kept waiting to see when this king would come. And they had to wait a long time. 1,000 years later, 1,000 years passed since that promise was made. And God's people had to wait during some good times, and they had to wait during some really difficult times when their enemies had attacked them and when they had made mistakes and got themselves in trouble. They kept waiting for this king to come, this promised king. Then, 1,000 years later, we get to the passage that we read today, that Teresa read for us. We arrive in the small town of Nazareth. It wasn't even near the capital city, it was way out in a place called Galilee, miles away. And we come to a young lady whose name was
Mary.
Mary. Now Mary was going to marry Joseph. Okay? It had all been arranged and planned. And Joseph was a descendant of David. He was one of his great, I don't know how many times you have to say great, grandchildren. Mary and Joseph, in a way, they were a bit like David in that they were poor. They were like David when he was young, that is. They were poor, they were very poor. They weren't very important in their country or in their town. They weren't powerful. But God had chosen them. So, the angel came, we read about this, the angel came and said to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." God had chosen them, even though they were just unimportant as far as other people were concerned. God said, "You are highly favoured. You are special. You're chosen." Now, Mary was quite confused about this, but the angel explained. And this is a key part that I want us to think about. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary immediately asked, "Well, how can this be?" She wasn't married, and she knew that she wasn't expecting a baby at that point. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." God was going to do a miracle that's never been done before and will never be done again. Now, the angel left, and Mary had accepted, even though she didn't understand. She had said, "I am the Lord's servant." That means, "I accept, I will do whatever God wants. May your word be fulfilled."
and Mary was left alone. Now, want to think about those words that the angel said. What did they mean? The first thing was, you are to call him Jesus. We're so used to calling Jesus, Jesus, that we don't think about what it means. But it's actually really important, because the word Jesus means Saviour. So it's a name that's telling us what he's going to do. This child would save his people. And later on we find out that he would save them from their sins. This means that he would deal with the problem of sin. Sin separates us from God and deserves punishment. But Jesus will save us from that punishment that we deserve by taking that sin on himself. Then the next thing the angel said was, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Joseph would be like a father to him, look after him and things like that. He'd be like a stepfather, really, because this baby wouldn't have a biological father. He was the Son of God. He would be divine, which is God himself. That's amazing. It means that God isn't distant from us. He would come down here, the angel was saying, and be near us. And that's why one of the titles that Jesus has, not the one we did today, but one of them, that's also in Isaiah, is the title Emmanuel, which means God with us. He would be the Saviour, he would be the Son of God. And then thirdly, the angel said, that the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The angel was saying that now, finally, the wait was over. Remember those promises that we heard about to David? Do you remember those promises that God had given to David 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, about one of his descendants? There would be eternal king? Well, now the wait was over, the angel was saying. They were going to come true. The descendant of David, who had been promised, had finally arrived. He was going to take the throne of his father David.
Why did it change colour?
There was someone sitting on it before. Has it changed colour?
Yeah, I think it changed.
Well spotted. So we've learned he was going to be a saviour, he was going to be the Son of God, and he was going to be this eternal king. That's who this baby was going to be. Now, we were talking earlier about Advent calendars, weren't we? Why do you think we like them? Why do we like them? Is it just because of the chocolate?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
You like waking up in a good mood for.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah, but you only get a tiny bit of chocolate. Still, because the chocolate is good, but is it something else? I think Henry's on the right lines. What are you going to say, Christine? Yeah. What were you going to say, Anna? So you said the chocolate, but do you think there's something more? I think the reason we like Advent calendars so much is because they make Christmas kind of more exciting. They help us count down. They kind of create anticipation as we're counting down the days to Christmas. And they just remind us that Christmas is coming. Every day we open another one, we see another number gone.
So there's only 23 days left. It's not 25 days.
Depends. Some of them have one for the 25th, some don't. But anyway, they help us count down the days to increase our excitement as Christmas comes closer and closer. Now, who's this?
That's God.
Yeah. How do you think he's feeling right now in that picture?
Happy.
Not just happy.
Excited.
Yeah, excited. Brilliant work. This is how some of you will look on Christmas Eve. I don't mean you'll look like a seaspun, but you'll look excited. You know the feelings, don't you? When you've been waiting and waiting, and Christmas is nearly here, and it's just the day before, and you're feeling really, really excited. You might be excited about the presents. You might be excited about Christmas food that you're going to eat, those pigs and blankets and things like that. You might be excited about having the time off school. You might be excited about how you're going to see friends and families over the Christmas holidays, maybe playing some games together. But here's the thing. While we wait for Christmas Day, it's really good to remember how God's people had to wait all those years for Jesus to come. And I would say that when we're feeling that excitement, I would suggest that when you're feeling that excitement about Christmas coming, remember that that's how God's people felt waiting for Jesus to come. That excitement is a good thing. And we can also have that excitement too when we think about Jesus coming into the world. And I would suggest that we shape our prayers around that. So when we're feeling excited about all those other things, we can say something like this to God. God, as I wait in excitement for Christmas, help me to remember how the world had to wait for Jesus and to feel excitement about that too. Now, the next photo is what you look like on Christmas morning. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that about right?
I love this.
You wake up. Yeah. All like that. Yeah. You wake up and the day has finally arrived. It's a great feeling, isn't it? When the day has finally arrived. It's Christmas Day, you've waited all those days that you've been doing your calendar, and the day is finally here. What's the first thing you're going to do when you wake up on Christmas morning? Put your hands up. Don't wash. Yeah? Have a cup of tea. Very sensible, yeah. Have a cup of tea. Very English as well. Okay, yeah. Yep. Check your stocking, yeah. Yeah. Okay, waking up your friends and families, yeah. Maybe without slapping them, just waking up. Maybe then you could make Dylan a cup of tea. Yeah? Now you can't wake him up. Okay, so that's enough answer. Okay. Oh, we've got one more, Christine. Great feeling, isn't it? On Christmas morning, you feel really excited and happy. The day has finally come. You feel joy and that feeling of the wait is finally over. Christmas Day is finally here. Now, it's really good to remember this as well. But that's how people felt when Jesus was born. Not everyone understood what was happening when Jesus was born. But for those who did, that excitement of the day has finally arrived, the waiting is over, that's how people felt when Jesus was finally born. The king had finally arrived and he was here. So it's really good for us to have that joy and happiness, not just about our presence, but also about the fact that Jesus has arrived. And we can also shape our prayers around that. We can say something like this. God, just as I am really happy that Christmas Day has arrived, help me to be really happy that Jesus has arrived as well, that Jesus has come into the world. The Saviour, the God, Son of God,
and the eternal King has arrived. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll sing our last song.
Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for this passage that we read and about that exciting moment when you announced to Mary that the Saviour was going to be born. And as we think about all those hundreds of years that people had to wait and wait, longing for the day when he would come, and then the day when he finally arrived, Lord, we thank you that we can share in that joy and excitement. And as we wait for Christmas and are excited about things like presents and family and all sorts of things like that, help us to remember how your people had to wait. And as we are excited on Christmas Day, help us to be excited about Jesus finally coming into the world and all that that means for us. Thank you that he is our Saviour. Thank you that he is God with us. And thank you that he is the eternal King who is in control of all things. So we thank you and we pray that you'll help us over this Advent season to prepare our hearts to appreciate everything that Christmas means. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.